We take a look at the week in Washington, checking in on the top news in national politics. Congress is coming back into session next week. The Senate is under pressure to vote on a background check bill and other gun reforms, while the House Speaker is weighing whether to take up a major new trade agreement. And the Trump administration is shifting more than $3.5 billion meant for military construction projects to a southern border wall. Our question for you this week, what do you think about this latest move to move this money to build a border wall? Do you think money is needed more in other parts of our immigration system? If you're a supporter of President Trump, how important is building a wall to you? And how do you feel about getting the money from, among other things, military projects? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. Scott Wong is a senior staff writer at The Hill. Scott, welcome back.
Hey, Rob. Thanks for having me.
Well, let's start in Congress. There's been some pressure on Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell to take up a gun background check bill that passed the House. Here's some of what he had to say about that, talking during a radio interview this week.
If the president took a position on a bill so that we knew we would actually be making a law and not just having serial votes, I'd be happy to put it on the floor. And the administration is in the process of studying what they're prepared to support, if anything.
Now, President Trump has talked about different gun measures with mixed messages on some of them. What's happening here, Scott?
Well, to me, it seems like the president and Mitch McConnell are doing a bit of a dance here. McConnell says he's prepared to move forward on gun reform legislation if and only if Trump makes some sort of commitment to signing it into law. And so far, that hasn't happened. Trump continues to waffle on the background checks legislation. Some days he's for it. Other days he says, well, we already have plenty of gun laws in place. He's really been giving lawmakers on Capitol Hill and us in the press mixed signals. And his latest sort of iteration is he's saying, well, let's see what Senate negotiators come up with. He's sort of left it in the Senate negotiators' court. So both McConnell and Trump are sort of looking to the other guy for leadership on guns.
So this is kind of a go ask your mom, go ask your dad situation?
Yeah, it's really been quite bizarre and hard to follow and make sense of. I think we're going to have a better sense of the state of play and where things stand once Congress gets back into session next week.
House Democrats have passed some legislation that's not taken up in the Senate, right? What kind of things have we seen come out of the House?
Well, the big bill that came out of the House was H.R. 8, which is the background checks, universal background checks bill. In fact, that bill, you know, Democrats are saying could have prevented the latest shooting that we saw in Odessa and Midland, Texas, because that gun, as we understand it, was sold to the individual through a private gun sale under these universal background checks. You know, that loophole would be closed. And so Democrats are saying, you know, here is yet another example of you know, lives lost because of inaction by Congress, specifically Mitch McConnell and the Republican-controlled Senate.
You recently wrote a piece on how this gun issue could shape the election next year, especially in suburban districts in the House. What kind of things are you seeing?
Well, that's exactly right. You know, talking to a lot of Republican lawmakers, they're explaining that Republicans really got clobbered in the suburbs in the 2018 midterms. That's a large part in why they lost the House, especially due to backlash to President Trump. And some of these Republicans that I'm speaking to have said that, you know, sort of what we saw from President Trump this summer, his erratic style of governing, his sort of flip-flopping on guns and the payroll tax and calling Jewish Democrats disloyal, the diplomatic row that we saw with Denmark's leader over her refusal to sell the United States Greenland, that's really cementing these feelings about Trump. So if you were opposed to Trump in 2018 and you're a voter in the suburbs, you're likely to be opposed to him in 2020, and that's made it very difficult for Republicans to make inroads in the suburbs heading into next year's election. You know, that has all sorts of implications, especially for the House, but also for the Senate and the White House. And I think that's why you're seeing some of these waves of GOP retirements, especially among House Republicans, including one today with Bill Flores of Texas, because of this sort of growing feeling that Republicans will not be able to win back the House and that life in the minority is not very fun.
Talking to Scott Wong from The Hill, looking at some of the top stories of the week in national politics. Scott, the Trump administration told Congress it's moving $3.6 billion meant for military construction projects to fund a border wall. Some news is coming out, I gather, about which projects that will be. But give us the backstory here. This is something the Trump administration had foreshadowed a while back.
That's right. President Trump made this announcement earlier this spring that he was declaring a national emergency on the border with Mexico. That enabled him, according to his staff and attorneys, to be able to shift previously allocated money from the Defense Department for military construction projects around the country to build the border wall on the southern border with Mexico. This list is, I think, about to become public, if it's not public already. But Defense Secretary Mark Esper has been calling lawmakers in recent days from states that will be losing funding. And so we know some of these projects. They include like a space control facility at Peterson Air Force Base in Colorado, as well as I noticed a weapons training range in your state of Wisconsin. And so there are a lot of individuals, a lot of lawmakers and states impacted by this move. So far, the reaction has from Capitol Hill has not been great. The Utah senators, Republicans Mike Lee and Mitt Romney, said they were not happy that $54 million in projects would be delayed. And we have to remember these projects are not being canceled. They're just being delayed, but now they sit on a lengthy backlog list. And they've argued that this essentially gives the executive branch too much power and erodes Congress's power of the purse. But of course, this is Trump's, you know, one of his top priorities and pledges to his voters heading into the 2020 election was that he was going to build that wall, you know, that chant that we frequently hear at Trump rallies. And so, you know, he's under enormous pressure from his base. He needs them to turn out in the 2020 election, in the general election. And so in order to do that, he needs to energize his base. And one of the ways he sees he can do that is by beginning construction of his border wall.
But pulling money from military projects, and also we've seen in the news money coming out of FEMA and Homeland Security to do this, is there a risk that those choices are going to tick off as many people as it pleases, people who are happy to see the money going to the wall?
Yeah, I suppose that could be the case. And, you know, I'm sure in the days and weeks to come, we will see some polling as to whether this was a popular decision. But I think, you know, for right now, President Trump believes that that this is a good decision, a good political decision, and a strategic decision for him and his campaign heading into 2020.
And Democrats are going back to the president's or then candidate Donald Trump's campaign. Campaign line, we're going to build a wall and Mexico is going to pay for it. They're trying to remind the public that he didn't say that the Defense Department and the U.S. taxpayer is going to pay for it.
Right. And of course, you know, we are now, you know, nearly 4 years into the Trump presidency, and Democrats are trying to expose the fact that this has been an unfulfilled promise, and they're going to try to throw up all sorts of roadblocks that they can. I don't think they'll try to shut down the government over that. I don't think that would be productive, but clearly there are objections both from the Democratic side of the aisle and the Republican side.
We continue our conversation with Scott Wong. He's a senior staff writer at The Hill. We're looking at the week in national politics, some of the top stories in the national news. Let's bring in a caller at 800-642-1234. Ask for your thoughts on the rerouting of money from military construction projects and elsewhere to go into a southern border wall. Robert joins us now from Green Bay. Robert, hi.
Hi. I just want to say something about walls in general. You know, I'm not a big fan of wasting American dollars on a wall. I believe that as a sovereign nation, as anyone else, we should be able to seal off our borders and then maybe some kind of a, you know, make some kind of a immigration bill after, you know, a lot of this is a lot like the Flintstones where, you know, the cat's out on the front he brings it out and it jumps back through the window. But the Maginot Line of France, the one in the East and West Germany, there's been a million walls through history. They don't work. You can fly over them. You can dig under them. You can go, if someone really wants to get here, then that wall, if the wall did work, which it won't because it's 4,000 miles long, you can, then people will try to funnel through Canada where there isn't a wall. It's like a big waste of time and money. And I think it's some kind of a campaign stunt that he just flapped off of his mouth saying he could do it. And, you know, kind of like what Kennedy did when he said, hey, we're going to go to the moon. They had no idea how to get there. We just got lucky enough to got some smart scientists that did it.
Robert, thanks a lot for the call. Scott, a lot of people, I think, would agree with Robert about, you know, we could have more border security, but why a wall in particular?
Well, I do think there's some truth to Robert's point. I mean, the wall, you know, can be symbolic, right? The wall represents border security. The wall is something visual that a lot of voters can grasp the idea of. The immigration policy is much more difficult to talk about, to explain, and clearly to solve. And so I think the wall, in a lot of ways, and we've seen Trump go down to the border and take pictures and videos of the wall and in front of the wall, it can be a prop of sorts, but I think it also sort of represents something broader, which is, you know, border security and security of jobs for Trump and a lot of his voters.
Robert, thanks a lot for the call. Well, I want to move on now, Scott. We talked about the Senate earlier. The House will be coming back, of course, and Speaker Nancy Pelosi has been under pressure to hold a vote on the U.S.-Mexico-Canada trade agreement. That's the updated version of NAFTA. What is the status? What's the debate on that?
Well, it's in flux right now, and there's a lot of conversations happening. She, Pelosi herself, had a conversation, a phone call with Prime Minister Justin Trudeau of Canada just yesterday. She's been telling anyone she can talk to, including Trudeau, about Democratic priorities that are not in the NAFTA 2.0 deal, including labor standards. She has concerns about high prescription drug prices, environmental protections. These are some of the things that they are still negotiating, and Democrats are still not happy that are not a part of this package. And so, you know, conversations are continuing. And again, just like the border wall, the USMCA or NAFTA 2.0 is a top priority for Trump and congressional Republicans heading into 2020. And they have, not a whole lot of wins or victories in this new Congress. And so they're looking for something tangible that they can point to as they run for reelection.
But some Republicans seem to be saying if Democrats don't pass something here, they can use this as a bludgeon in the election campaign.
I suppose that's correct. You know, voters want to see some kind of bipartisanship in action. And so far, this has been a Congress, you know, absent of any of that. And so I think both sides, that's correct. I think both sides are under pressure to show some kind of results, whether that's on gun reforms or on trade. Of course, this comes against the backdrop of America's big trade war with China that are creating jitters in the markets and the economy. And so I think voters are looking for some stability in the economy and as well as maybe some bipartisanship with trade.
Another issue in the House. Not too long ago, we reached a point where more than half of Democrats in the House supported starting impeachment proceedings of some sort. That's not enough to make it happen. What's the latest on this idea of either impeachment inquiries, impeachment hearings? I hear different phrases thrown around out there.
Yeah, you know, it seems like we hear an awful lot about impeachment, but, you know, I think the reality is that the magic number is 218 votes, and that's what Pelosi is looking for. That would be half of the entire U.S. House of Representatives. And so far we are far from that number. We're at about 120 or so. And so, Nancy Pelosi knows she's a master vote counter. She knows where her votes are. And so far, you know, the overwhelming number of Democrats are, not, or I would say there are a good number of Democrats that are not for impeachment. And even the ones that actually have said that they support an impeachment inquiry are not necessarily, you know, beating the door down, you know, trying to impeach the president. So I think, you know, people are being very cautious about the language that they're using. They want to show their liberal base in their districts that they are hearing their concerns about President Trump, but also understand the political reality that, you know, charging down this impeachment path could backfire for Democrats in the 2020 election.
And what else are you watching for as the House returns in the fall?
Well, you know, unfortunately, we're in a similar situation that we always are in with the possibility of a government shutdown on October 1st. Even though we have this two-year budget deal between Democrats and President Trump that was signed into law before the August recess, Congress still needs to pass their funding bills before October 1st. And so it looks like we're in exactly the same situation as we often are, where Congress will need to kick the can down the road and pass another continuing resolution or CR to keep the government's lights on into December, you know, putting us in another precarious situation right before the holidays. So that's something that reporters on Capitol Hill are watching for.
Let's flip back over to the Senate now, Scott. Senate Majority Leader McConnell talked about the prospect of filling a Supreme Court vacancy in the next year and a half, the year plus leading up to a presidential election. That is something he refused to do in the year before President Obama left office. Merrick Garland didn't get any kind of a vote in that stretch of time. What is he saying now?
Well, McConnell is saying now that he absolutely would fill a Supreme Court vacancy either this year or in the presidential election year of 2020. There are, you know, three of the justices are getting up there in years. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who's been battling cancer on and off, is 86. Another liberal, Justice Breyer, is 81, and conservative Clarence Thomas is 71. So, you know, the possibility that something could open up on the Supreme Court is likely or possible. But Democrats obviously are crying foul, saying that this exposes McConnell's hypocrisy. You mentioned Merrick Garland back in 2016, where McConnell blocked his confirmation all throughout that presidential election year. And the gamble paid off for him, right? Because McConnell kept saying that the next president should fill the vacancy. Well, the next president turned out to be Donald Trump, a Republican. And so that gamble paid off enormously for McConnell. You know, Democrats know that he's one of the savviest politicians on Capitol Hill. And, you know, he will be looking to fill that vacancy should one occur with another conservative.
Do you expect to see whatever happens with appointments in the next year or so? Do you expect to see Supreme Court nominations be a big issue in the races, not just for president next year, but for the U.S. Senate?
You know, I would agree. I think they probably will be, just like they were in the 2016 election. That was one of the central arguments for Republicans about why Donald Trump should be elected president over Hillary Clinton, the Supreme Court, that he would have an opportunity to put conservative judges in those slots, and he has so far. And so McConnell can certainly point to his record of filling some of those vacancies with conservatives, not just on the Supreme Court, but all of the federal courts. And there have been dozens and dozens of appointments that Donald Trump has made. And so I think that will certainly be a central argument for McConnell as he defends his very narrow Senate majority.
And most recently, Scott, we're, of course, watching the news of Hurricane Dorian. It hit the Bahamas, now threatening the U.S. East Coast. What kind of things are people in the nation's capital talking about, if at all, when it comes to the hurricane?
Well, the hurricane obviously is on everyone's minds, as we've seen the images from the Bahamas, and now it's making its way to the United States. You know, in terms of policy, it has disrupted, you know, it's disrupted Congress's return to Washington. The Judiciary Committee, headed by Democrat Jerry Nadler, had hoped to bring his committee back to Washington today, in fact, to hold hearings and mark up some legislation on gun reforms to sort of keep driving home the point that gun reforms are needed and to put pressure on Mitch McConnell and President Trump. Well, that was scrapped because of the hurricane, because a lot of his members are based out of Florida and the East Coast, some of those East Coast states. And so, unfortunately, for Nadler, he had to scrap his plans. And now, you know, Congress is not slated to return until next week after a very lengthy 6-week recess.
Scott, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
We've been talking to Scott Wong, senior staff writer at The Hill. He joined us to talk about this week's news out of Washington. You can still let us know what you think about the Trump administration moving money meant for military construction projects to build at least part of a southern border wall. Is this where we should be moving our money to? Do other parts of the immigration system need funding more? If you're a supporter of the president's plan to build a wall, do you think it should take priority over some of these other issues? Let us know. Email ideas@WPR.org. And you can always tweet us @CentralTimeWPR.